We're in Sefer Mesillas Yesharim, Perek Hey, and we're learning about the three factors that hold a person back from growing in his Avodas Hashem. If a person is focused in his Avodas Hashem and he's doing a Cheshbon Nefesh and he knows what he needs to work on, he's on a good path. But even if he's on a good path, there are three things which could hold a person back from continuing in that path and could make him fall. And the first one, which we started speaking about, we're still in the middle of, is that Adam gets too involved in all the down-to-earth, bothersome things in this world. And it's not really, really important to be in the know about all the politics of other things that are going on the other side of the world. It doesn't make a difference. You hear about them, you didn't hear about them. It's one thing if you want to hear about it to help. You know, there's a campaign, and you want to help out in the campaign, so you listen to what's going on because you want to actually be involved. But just to hear the news about what's going on with other people on the other side of the world, and you have no interest, I mean, you have an interest, but you're not going to be involved in it anyway, then it just takes your mind out of the place where you presently are, and you're not able to focus what's in front of you. Like, it used to be that you only heard the news in your kfar, your shtetl, your village, and there was enough news that kept you interested, but you were still able to remain focused. Nowadays, where you hear all the news of everyone's shtetl around the whole world, you could be mishugah on it. You could be like, your mind will go from one story to the next story, one scandal to the next. You won't finish. You won't be able to ever focus on what's really important. V'zehu aboreit barach shemo, bara yetzer hara ba'adam, hu bara Torah tavlin. And it's interesting that the Gemara in Kedushin says, barati yetzer hara, barati la Torah tavlin. It's interesting that the Gemara calls it a tavlin. Because really, it should be called an antidote, right? I gave you Torah to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So the Torah is the antidote of the Yetzer Hara. But the word tavlin doesn't mean antidote. That's not what it means. It means spice. You add spice to a dish. When you're making cholent, you add tavlinim. So what's interesting why the Gemara calls the Yetzer Hara, calls the Torah in respect to the Yetzer Hara a tavlin. Why is it called a tavlin? It's supposed to add spice to the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara doesn't have enough spice of his own that we need to give him some. What does it mean? What's shat in it? But a simple way of understanding it is that the Yetzer Hara is not inherently bad. It's just desire. Desire, when not guided, and it's just like electricity which is not plugged in a safe way, it's just loose wires, then it's very powerful, and it's also dangerous. However, when that same power, that energy, or that desire that exists within man, is channeled in a healthy way, then it can make a life support machine. It can make something very positive and creative. It can build goodness in the world. So what the Gemara is telling us is that the Yetzer Hara is only ra when it's not channeled to Hashem. But when you have Torah, the Torah is a tavlin. The Torah is like a spice that can take that energy, take that desire, take that power that we have, and instead of it being wasted and taking us away from our mission in life, rather the Torah guides us to use that energy for the sake of Hashem. So it turns out that Torah is not supposed to be dampening our desire. Not at all. It's rechanneling our desire in a way which is God's will. And that's why the Gemara calls it a tavlin. So if you imagine, I don't know if you knew anyone like this, maybe you could think of someone in your school who was like a big rebel and always mischievous and always like getting into... And then when they did a turnaround and they became the starkest person and they became the real masmid, they had all this energy and all this power and they devoted it all to Torah. And you're like, what happened over there? But obviously, because they had the energy, they had the koach, it was unbridled, it was being channeled in unhealthy ways and they were being mischievous. But then when they devoted themselves to Torah, then it's not that they didn't have desire anymore. They still had a lot of desire, but now because the Torah is guiding them and how to use that desire, the Torah becomes a tavlin, becomes a spice which flavors the way that they're channeling all that desire into service to that Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's an amazing diuk of the Gemara in Kedushin. Hinei pashutu. Shim HaKodesh Baruch Hu lo bara lamaka zo, ela rufua zo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made a particular spice, a particular healing to the sickness, e'efshar b'shum panim she'yirapeh adam mizot ha'makah bilti zot ha'rafuah. There's no other way. There's no other solution. Torah is the only way that you can overcome the Yetzer Hara. So it's interesting. Why do you learn Torah? There are many reasons why we learn. One of the reasons why we learn Torah, although we don't often think about this, is because we have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah leads us to do things which are unhealthy spiritually and emotionally for us. And the more we devote ourselves to Torah, the more we're able to overcome the Yetzirah. What does it mean to overcome? Is it a war and it's a battle and we're fighting? No, it's totally bypassing the battle. It's just sapping all of the energy from the Yetzirah and channeling it towards good. And then Mela, when your mind is empty, the Rambam says, then an empty mind, then Giriyah Rayis comes to the empty mind. But once a mind becomes filled with Torah thoughts, then you've sapped all the energy of the Torah towards Torah, then there's just no room in the mind anymore for inappropriate thoughts because you've channeled all your thoughts towards... So you're not fighting the Yetzirah. You're just rechanneling all the energy, all the koach towards Hashem. I must tell you a ridiculous story. My great uncle, if he was alive today, he'd be over 100, was fighting in World War II on the side of the British in Egypt. And a few years later, he was in a pub or a restaurant or somewhere, and he heard someone with a German accent talking. So the question that you asked in the 1950s was, so where were you in the war? That was the question, you know? Where were you in the war? So he hears this person, and he says, oh, we were in Egypt. He says, oh, that's interesting. I was also in Egypt. He says, where were you fighting? And it turned out that they were fighting. My uncle on the side of the British and this German Nazi who was fighting on behalf of the Germans, and he was in the same place, and they were fighting one against the other. And then this German, Yimach Shemo, says to my uncle, oh, you know what we did? We found your water line, and we tapped into it, and we rechanneled all of your water to our army, and that's why you had to leave, and that's why we were strengthened and we carried on. Eventually, the opposite happened, and the Germans fell back, because that's why they didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael. So my uncle says to me, he says, now what am I supposed to say to them? what am I supposed to say? Shkoyach! What am I going to say to them? He says, I had nothing to say and I just walked out. That's what he said. But that same trick that the Yetzirah uses against us, we use against him with Torah. That there's energy flowing. Ein ma'im ela Torah. There's energy flowing. And that energy that's flowing, the goal is not to try and push the water back. Right? It's a losing battle. But you just rechannel it. And when you learn Torah, it gives spice towards the Yetzirah. You take that same desire that you have, which is healthy. Unhealthy if it's channeled in the wrong way. But it's healthy when it's channeled the right way. And the more you get learned Torah, and I must be very, very, very clear here. When we say learn Torah, this only means if you're independently thinking through the Torah thoughts. If you're just repeating other people's thoughts, or just, how do you say ledaklem in English? Just like externally reviewing, just repeating, then it won't have this effect. That on Torah Shebal Peh, on Torah Shebichtav it will. Torah Shebichtav, the words are inherently holy. Torah Shebichtav, just saying Tehillim, just saying words which are Torah Shebichtav, that has Kedusha which comes down on a person in a Segula way, in a supernatural way. That's even if you don't understand what you're saying, there is a power in the words that you're saying. But in Torah Shebal Peh, there the power of the Torah is the you entering the thoughts of the Torah. You aligning your thoughts with the thoughts of Hashem. So the person is just spectating Torah. Like in the same way as you would read a novel or you would read a newspaper, where you're really external to it. And you're like, that's interesting. But it hasn't transformed you because you haven't used your own Torah. You haven't thought to yourself, does that make sense to me? Is that what I would have said? Would I have answered it that way? No. Well, how would I have answered it? I thought this way. So why doesn't my way fit into the Gemara? And then you start channeling the Torah's thoughts into your thoughts. Because you challenge what the Torah is saying until it makes sense to you. And then you become a person who's actively thinking Torah. Instead of being a spectator watching the game, you become a player on the field. You could read the Gemara and see all the Tanaim and the Amoraim throwing the ball back and forth. Or you could join them. And you could ask questions and preempt them even before they ask their questions. You could ask the question. And when they give an answer, you could say, that doesn't make sense to me, that answer. Not that I'm saying that they're wrong. Chas v'shalom, of course I know they're right, but I don't understand it. And my goal is that I understand it. And therefore I'm not going to accept it because they said that's the answer, that's the answer. It has to make sense to me. If you do that, then it has the Torah has the power to defeat the Yetzirah. Because then your mind is thinking Torah thoughts where you're activating Torah within yourself. But if you're just reading and not really, even if you're understanding, but you're not thinking, does it make sense to me? Does it, is that what I would have said? Then the Torah is passing through you. Torah doesn't have the power to conquer and defeat the Yetzer Hara if it's just passed through you. If you're actively thinking Torah thoughts, then you can fill the mind with Torah. There will be no room for the Yetzer Hara. But if Torah's gone in and gone out, then your mind is now blank and open, then anything can come in at that moment. So says the Mesir Sharon. Whoever thinks that they could be saved in any other way from the Yetzer Hara without using the power of Torah is to'eh v'ro'eh ta'otol levasof. He's making a mistake. And not only am I saying this is a mistake because I think so, but it will prove itself. That person's Yetzer Hara will still remain strong if they're not activating themselves in Torah. Because shiamut b'cheto, they will continue until the end of their lives still doing sins. In other words, they're trying to defeat the Yetzer Hara without learning Torah. They won't be successful. כי הנה היצר הרע באמת חזק הוא באדם מאוד, ומבלי ידיעתו של אדם הולך ומתגבר בו ושולט עליו. The Yetzer Hara is much stronger than man. It's like a snake that when you're like sleeping and you don't notice, it starts going around and around and around and around you. You don't even notice. In fact, it's like quite warm and nice. Like it was cold outside. It's like a nice blanket for me. And then suddenly when it's too late, it clenches you. And you didn't even realize that was happening. And then so you're already in his clutches. The Yetzer Hara is holech umitgaber bo. It continuously strengthens, and a person's not even aware. Mebli yediato shel adam sholet alav. Ve'im yaseh kol ha'tachbolot shebaolam. And even if you try every other method in the world, v'lo yukach harufua shenivret lo, but you don't take the specific medicine that Hashem gave for the Yetzer Hara. So if we take a step back, we could ask the question the other way. Why did Hashem make the Yetzer Hara? Why did He make it to begin with? So that we would acknowledge that we can only rely on Hashem. And that through the power of Torah, we can come close to Hashem. So He gave us the Yetzer Hara so that we will turn to Torah, and then we'll recognize that with Torah we can overcome the Ra. That's why He gave it to us. So if we try and resolve the negativity within ourselves in any other way, then we're denying Hashem's way of saying it, the way it works. I've got this much before, but it's less relevant nowadays. Everyone has ways. But it used to be that people had a map in their car. And it would always be this like, classic joke where the husband and wife are driving together, and the wife's sitting next to the husband, and the husband's driving, and they're lost. And the wife says, maybe we should look at the map. I don't need the map. Yeah, but there's a map. I don't need the map. I know the way. And then they go around, and then the wife notices that they've passed this place 3 times already. And just maybe we should ask that person. I know the way. I don't need to ask the person. I know the way. I know where we're going. I know the way. And if a person has clear directions, and they try and go it alone without using the direction, they'll probably get lost. The Torah gave us clear directions. Within Torah, it's very important that you do discover your own way. That's different. And within Torah, you have to find what your unique chelik in Torah is. But that's one within Torah. But if you're trying to define the way to overcome the Yetzer Hara, to get out of being lost without using the Torah, you're going to get stuck again and again and again. Shehi HaTorah. Hashem created a very specific way to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and that's the Torah. That's the only way. V'lo yada v'lo yagish. But tigborot cholio, if a person doesn't know Torah, he won't even notice. He won't even intellectually know, and he won't even emotionally feel that the Yetzer Hara is strengthening and strengthening. Ele yamut v'cheto v'tovad nishmato. Lama davar adome. Let's give a mashal for this. There was someone who was sick, and he went to the doctor to ask for treatment. And the doctor immediately recognized what his sickness was and says to him, you need to take this particular medicine. That's the medicine that you need in order to heal you. And this person, who has no knowledge of medicine, he says, you know what? I don't need that medicine. I'm going to take some other medicine. People do this a lot nowadays with alternative medicine. You know, the doctor said this is the treatment. I'm going to take this herb and that herb and all these different herbs. Not proved anywhere in any experiments that actually make any difference. But besides, you know, I want to try my own thing, do my own way. It's clear that this is the path. This is not even a good mashal, because in this mashal, the doctor didn't create the sickness, and the doctor didn't create the medicine. So this is quite a bad mashal, actually, because it's just the doctor's learnt that this medicine heals this sickness. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's much, much stronger. He created the sickness, and he created the antidote. He created both. In order that the Yetzer Hara would empower your Torah, and the Torah would be even greater, and you'll take that desire of the Yetzer Hara and learn Torah and come close to Him. That's the whole purpose that Hashem did it for. Ken hadavar hazeh. Ein mi shemakir b'chol ha'Yetzer Hara b'kocho ha'mutba bo el ha'boreit b'rach shemo. Shebaro. There's no one else who knows the Yetzer Hara and his ways, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created him. He's the programmer. He's the master programmer who made the Yetzirah with a particular purpose. And every time the Yetzirah tries to attack you in a particular area, it's to build something unique within you. When he sends you this challenge, he's giving you a particular challenge for you to build a certain area. I must tell you a beautiful pshat. I read last night. Nemeah Shiloach. Nemeah Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, he has a commentary on the Torah. It's a phenomenal Torah. So he writes that like this. He says, didn't Yaakov speak quite harshly towards Rachel? Why did he do that? Does that make sense? Although it did work in the end. She did have a child. But what was his plan? Why was he doing it? And how did it have a positive effect on Rachel? This is the most amazing pshat. He says that when the Torah says that Rachel was jealous of Leah, it doesn't say that she knew that she was jealous of Leah. The Torah is testifying that she was jealous. It could be that she wasn't aware of it. But Yaakov was aware of it. So Yaakov says to her, you know, I have children. You don't have children. Meaning, you have something you need to work on. And she looked into herself and says, what is it that I have that's holding me back from having children? What negative trait is there within me that's holding me back? And she contemplated and she identified that she was jealous. And she said, well, what does someone do who's jealous? If you want to work on it, how do you work on it? You do the exact opposite of what you currently feel. Right? That's what the Rambam speaks about going to the opposite extreme. So she said, I'm going to bring Bila into my home. Meaning, I'm jealous of one. So I'll go and take a whole nother one in order to work on my jealousy. As the Torah says in her name, Ulai Ibaneh Mimena. What does that mean, Ulai Ibaneh Mimena? What does that mean? How will I become built through her? I will become built through her. How will I become built? I, my midas, will become built. My jealousy that I have is right now holding back from having children. Ulai Ibaneh. Maybe I will become built through bringing her into my home, because then I'll show that I'm working on not being jealous and overcome the jealousy. And it works. She brings Bila into her home. In theory, she should be more jealous now, but she uses that as a way of working on the jealousy, and Yosef is born. Pile Eploim. Unbelievable shot. Ulai Ibaneh Mimen. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows exactly what the sickness is. And he identifies what it is. And he tells us what it is. And he tells us the way to work in it as well. And if we know what the sickness is, and we identify through the Torah what is the way to work on it, like in this example we just gave now, it's Tshuvat HaMishkal, to take that same thing, to go to the opposite extreme, to actively work on it, you'll end up being balanced. Hashem is the only one, and he testified that the only refuah is the Torah. Is it possible that a person is going to leave Torah aside and then try and solve his issues that he has in some other way and it will work? If a person does that, then the chomrius of the world will strengthen stage after stage, and he won't even understand what's happening. I'm trying so hard. I'm working so hard. What, doesn't Hashem want me to work on myself? Doesn't Hashem want to help me out here? I'm doing so many things. Yeah, but you're not doing the one thing that Hashem said to do, which is to fill your mind with Torah in a way that you're thinking actively of the Torah. That's the only thing that Hashem says. All the other solutions are external. Filling your mind, becoming a ben Torah, that's the way that you will work on. Ad shi matza shakua bara v'rachok min ha'emet herchek gadol. Shafilu hirhorei devarim lo ya'alu alibo levakesh emet. A person who goes so far, chas v'shalom, that he won't even have clarity to think what's the Torah's authentic way. But if a person's always realigning and realigning and realigning himself with Torah, they know always have clarity what the Torah says for him to do. Ach im ho'osek b'Torah, biroto d'racheya. The more you learn Torah, you understand the Torah's way. You tune your mind into Hashem's way of thinking. When you look at the world, you look at it from a different perspective. You look at the world not as cause and effect. This happened because of him, and this happened because of her, and this happened because of them. And you don't look at the world in that way. You start looking at the world in a new way of, if this happened, it's obviously because Hashem wants to teach me something from it. What's Hashem trying to teach me? And you pick up a message from it. The derech of Hashem, the tzivu Hashem, the azar of Hashem, sof mi'alav yitchadesh po hisorus. And you're always thinking, what does God want? What does God want? How can I grow? What is God's message? And that starts building you and building you. You're able to overcome the evil in that way, like Rachel did. Because you're able to notice, what's the negativity here? What does the Torah say about such a thing? And how can I grow it? A person who's Torah orientated never gets frustrated about bad there is. He always says, well, if Hashem didn't want that to happen, it wouldn't have happened. So if Hashem allowed it to happen, then there must be some message I can take from it. So what is that? And then he looks at how to grow from it. So a Torah perspective, one will never get stuck in the bad. Because every bad that happens will always be an opportunity to learn how to take the next step. In fact, in Torah, there's no such thing as a failure. There's only a, I can learn from that towards the next step. Ein adam omed al divrei Torah elam ken nishal behem. In other words, you have to fail in order to grow in Torah. That's the obvious next step. In fact, there's no other way. That the whole purpose of failure is to teach you how to take the next step. If you have a Torah perspective, you'll be building and building. You won't get stuck in the ra. Sof sof me'alav yitchadesh. And then from within oneself, a person will build the good midas. A person will start fulfilling the mitzvahs. And that will bring him yevi'ehu el derech hatov. And that's what it says in Medrash Eicha Rabbati. Halavai oti azvu v'sorasi shamru shema'or sheba machziram lemutav. Even if people will abandon me, halavai, they won't abandon my Torah. Because as long as they're holding on to my Torah and they're learning Torah, then the light of Torah will refine their way of thinking and they will return to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. But if a person stops learning Torah entirely, then what's going to hold them, what's going to give them guidance and shed light on the path they need to take? The Yetzer Hara will be then, all that energy will be unbridled and it will just conquer different areas. But if you're learning Torah, then all the negative energy that's currently within a person will constantly be rechanneled and rechanneled towards Hashem. One more short line. And therefore the solution is that a person has to be doing a cheshbon nefesh. That's what we're all getting back to. This whole section of Zahirus is all about, you have to be constantly checking in with yourself. Am I in line with Hashem? Am I in line with Hashem? Is what I'm doing in line with the Torah? Milvad kol zeh, kol ma shisher lo pnai ma'asakav im chacham hu, v'day shelo abdehu. A person who's wise won't let a minute go to waste. Ele yochaz bo miyad, v'lo yarpeyu la'asok bo. Don't let a minute of Torah go to waste. Grab hold of every moment that you can learn Torah. Esek nafsho. And use the Torah to enable you to look into your soul. V'tikun av Torah. And use the Torah as your guide of how to fix yourself. Always look to Torah to see what's my next step. How can I keep growing? V'zeh mafsid afa pishu yoter klali. This idea of being like bogged down by the world and not using Torah as your guideline to like realign you with Hashem. Hu yoter kal lemishro tzeh lemalet. This is the easiest one to work on. It's the most general one. It affects the most amount of people, just like not actively thinking. In Hebrew, the word is simat lev, paying attention, putting your heart, placing your heart. Place your heart towards your avoda. It's the most common one, but it's the easiest one to work on. Once you're aware that it's important, you can just do it. It's not very, very hard to overcome. You just have to like then say, this is important to me, I'm doing it. But you're not working against major desires here or anything. It's just like, you don't have to break yourself from a community. It's like, get a book. Pay attention and start paying attention, right? Start learning Torah. Start making sure you're learning Torah in a way which is authentic. So that's the end of point number one. So we're in the three things that hold a person back from continuing his path in Avodas Hashem. Number one was being bogged down by the world. We learned the solution by investing oneself in Torah and thinking in an authentic way in Torah. And that will make Torah the tavlin, that spice that will enable all the desires that one have, which are good desires, but they're good once they're channeled through Torah towards the Avodas Hashem. So tomorrow we'll continue with the next one. Thank you.